Where is everybody? Ever imagined a world that was absolutely empty, and not one single solitary human being left? What would it be like for the Earth to be as barren and depopulated as the moon? Believe it or not, the Bible paints that very picture. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth Richards. Today, Lonnie Melashenko opens up one of the most compelling topics in the Bible, the millennium. Who will be left on planet Earth during those 1,000 years? The answer is going to surprise you, so stay right by the radio. And we'd like to share a marvelous new book. It opens up the Word of God and helps explain the tumultuous days just before the second coming of Jesus and the millennium. Here's the title, The Antichrist and the New World Order. For your free copy, just write to us here at the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Right now, let's rejoin Lonnie for today's message, One Lonely, Empty World.
Thanks, Ken. One of my favorite books is entitled Out of the Silent Planet by C.S. Lewis. And in this powerful Christian science fiction allegory, our planet Earth is called Thalkandra by the sinless beings of other worlds. They live in a universe filled with light and love and joy and spiritual fulfillment. But out there on the farthest corner of the universe is Thalkandra, the silent planet. There's never any news from the silent planet. In fact, there's a kind of barrier there that keeps them from traveling freely to that forbidden place, the way they do in the rest of God's universe. However, there's news that one day soon, they say to each other, the silent planet will be silent no longer. God is planning an invasion. That's a chilling description, isn't it? The silent planet. Now, we who dwell here feel like there's noise all around us. 747s roar by, our computers buzz, telephones and faxes go every hour of the day and night. We have DBS television broadcasting with hundreds of channels, all of them screaming at us 24 hours a day. But the rest of the universe considers this to be the silent planet. Friend, did you know that there will come a time again when this planet will be silent? For one simple reason, there won't be a single living person dwelling on it. All this week we're opening up our Bibles and exploring, very humbly and very charitably we hope, the puzzle of last day events, the second coming of Jesus, the millennium, the judgment, the resurrection of God's faithful saints, and how all these events fit into place. Do you remember that I said earlier there are four groups of people to consider in the last days? Simplistically put, here they are. The righteous living, the wicked living, the righteous dead, and the wicked dead. And as we explored the Word of God yesterday, it appears clear that when Jesus comes again, we find the destination of two of these groups, the righteous living and the righteous dead, who now are resurrected and given immortality. Those two groups are taken by Jesus Christ to their mansions in heaven. Now, friend, we want to be in one of those two groups, don't you? I don't know when Jesus is coming, and neither do you. I would love to live, though, to see that great day. But one way or another, I want to be one of those who has accepted the blood of Jesus on my behalf. I want to be among the saved, friend. I want to be in that number, as the old spiritual goes. So, as far as planet Earth is concerned, at that point, there won't be a single righteous person left. Christ the King will have claimed his prize and taken them to paradise. But now, how about the other two groups? What does the Bible teach regarding them? Of course, we don't want to be included in that group. But, friend, many of us may have friends and loved ones who choose not to be saved. We may have relatives, parents, or children, or siblings. And that grieves our heart. But we also want to know how God feels about them. How is he going to handle the dilemma of those on the silent planet who plainly reject the gift of Calvary? Now listen, there's one group we could call the wicked dead. They've died before the second coming, maybe a few years before, maybe thousands of years before, people like Cain, who murdered his brother Abel and never repented. Other men and women, some of them famous, some of them infamous, who have turned their backs on Jesus Christ. They went to their graves rejecting Jesus Christ. What happens to them at the second coming? Well, the Bible talks about a resurrection of the lost. Did you know that? The book of Acts, chapter 24, verse 15, for instance, says, there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. John 5, 28, and by the way, this is Jesus himself saying this, a time is coming when all who are in their graves will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Now, you'll find this to be a key doctrine of most evangelicals and Protestants, a belief in the resurrection of both the saved and the lost. However, and here's the point of real interest, the resurrection of the lost, friend, doesn't happen at this time, but later. How much later? The book of Revelation clearly tells us. Here's a fairly long two verses from chapter 20. Notice, I, John, saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now listen, this next line in parentheses is important. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. And then it adds, referring back to the earlier event, this is the first resurrection. Now friend, consider this. If those who have died apart from Christ aren't resurrected until the second resurrection, at the end of this 1,000-year period, what happens to them at the first resurrection? Very clearly, the first resurrection does not impact them. If death is asleep, as the Bible very plainly teaches, and as we discussed yesterday, then the wicked who are lost sleep right through the second coming of Jesus. When the trumpet of Jesus calls his saints forth at the first resurrection, they aren't wakened. They are awakened later, 1,000 years later, in that fateful second resurrection. Now listen, a vital question. What about those who have rejected Christ and are living when he comes again? What happens to them? Well, first of all, try to imagine with me the raw horror of being in that group. For maybe a whole lifetime, you've rejected the idea of Jesus Christ. Maybe you just shrugged it off, or on the other hand, maybe you openly laughed it off. You've scorned the need to be saved, and now you look up in the sky and you see that you've made a fatefully wrong decision. Jesus is coming. His kingdom is going to reign. And you've turned it down. You realize that you're about to be eternally lost. How will the wicked living feel on that day? Listen, we find a fascinating and chilling description of their emotions in Revelation chapter 6. Here it is. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. A friend, here's a group of people, a huge, worldwide group of men and women, and this is a moment of absolute wrenching, soul-shattering terror for them. They've never been so frightened, so emotionally overwhelmed in their lives. To the point, friend, where they're literally calling to the rocks to fall on them and end their despair. But is that what happens? I'm always given extra confidence when Jesus Christ himself corroborates Bible teachings. And in Luke chapter 17, here's what he says. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building, but the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Friend, is it possible, then, that the same divine glory that brings such joy to God's saints is a fire of destruction, a consuming fire to the lost? That's the clear implication of Scripture, isn't it? And here's another fascinating clue found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the splendor of his coming. You know, it's tragically ironic that these people cry out in desperation to be destroyed, and a kind God honors that request. But now consider this. All the righteous saints of God have been taken to heaven. The lost, who were already dead, already sleeping in their graves, they just keep on sleeping. The second coming and the blast of the trumpet of the Lord is unheard by them. And those who are alive when Jesus comes, alive in a lost condition, that is, are struck dead by the glory of that great and fearful moment. Now they're dead too. Now friend, do you know what this means? Think about it. There's no one left. Friend, there's no one on this planet. No one righteous. No one evil. For 1,000 long years, this one little ball in space really is going to be the silent planet. What happens during that 1,000 years, that millennium of empty time? Be sure to stay tuned.
That's right, friend. There's much, much more to come, both tomorrow and all next week as Lonnie continues with this series, When Does the Trumpet Sound? And remember, we do want to send you a copy absolutely free of this great book by Marvin Moore entitled The Antichrist and the New World Order. This book has sold many thousands of copies, but we have it for you with our compliments. For your copy of The Antichrist and the New World Order, write The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free 24 hours daily at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And by the way, please remember to include the call letters of this station. Lonnie?
Thank you, Ken. Well, friend, the intriguing questions just keep coming. And I'm sure our discussion is generating some queries of your own. I think that's wonderful. And we'd love to have you jot them down when you write to us. We appreciate each of you so very much, and praise God for your own spirit of honest study and inquiry. Tomorrow, we'll discover what happens on this earth during those empty 1,000 years. Lucifer will still be here, you know, bound, the Bible says, by a great chain and thrown into a bottomless pit. Join us as we keep studying. Our title, No Need for Handcuffs and Chains. Until tomorrow, Lonnie Melashenko, reminding you, friend, it's always true. God loves you. Many of the villagers considered Dr. Le Forestier a dangerous idealist, much too outspoken for southern France during World War II. People worried he'd get the whole village in trouble, and sure enough, he did. He was brought to trial in a German military court on trumped-up charges. At his trial, he exposed his entire village to Nazi retaliation by giving a 45-minute oration on the moral necessity of his village's efforts to help Jews avoid deportation. He was sent to a French prison where he was killed just before the end of the war by rampaging Nazi guards. 30 years later, a researcher uncovered the rest of the story. The trial judge had believed in the doctor's innocence. He sent him to a French prison in an attempt to save his life. Before the trial, Dr. Le Forestier's village had been on a secret Nazi list for extermination because of their actions to save the Jews. The judge was so moved by the doctor's speech that he sacrificed his own military career to get the village removed from that list. Two men, two sacrifices. As long as innocent people suffer, good men will die to save them. All because of one holy man who once died to save a world.